You heard how it went down. Now, time to sum it all up. This is Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
Pass. The Cleveland Cavaliers back to 98.
The final score, a big night from Jordan Wara, a big night from Brooke Lopez as well. But this defense was the story, especially in that third quarter where they funneled the lead up to 20 and were off and running. An impressive win. The most impressive win we've seen thus far on the young season, taking care of a very good Cavaliers team who was shorthanded themselves without their big man in the middle, Jared Allen, but still a very, very impressive win by this Bucks team to pull just a half game back of the Boston Celtics for the best record in the Eastern Conference. 855-616-1620 is the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. A lot to get to here over the course of the next hour. A night full of vindication for our friend Jordan Wara. We'll get into all of it after this on Bucks Talk. An impressive win tonight for the Bucks, who get past the Cavaliers, and they do so shorthanded. 113-98 on the home floor. 11-3 now to open up the season, and for all 14 of those games, you've been without Pat Connaughton. You've been without Chris Middleton. For the last week plus, you've been without Drew Holiday. Add Grayson Allen to the mix tonight for good measure. And you went from 24 hours ago feeling like maybe tonight was the night you were going to see Pat Connaughton at least. You felt like there was a really good chance Drew Holiday was going to play, but we saw Pat Connaughton on the injury report this morning, probable. And when we meet with Coach Mike Budenholzer an hour and 45 minutes before tip time, the first thing you ask him is, well, we're going to do a wellness check here on your injury report. Can you tell me the status of Drew Holiday? He won't play. Okay, what about Pat Connaughton? Pat is also out. What about Grayson Allen? Grayson's out. And a few of us in there kind of looked at each other and thought, well, this is certainly unexpected, number one. And secondly, if ever there was a night you felt like you were going to need those guys, particularly Pat Connaughton and Drew Holiday, it was tonight. With a backcourt that features newly energized Donovan Mitchell, re-energized Donovan Mitchell, Darius Garland, who is fresh off a 51-point performance over the weekend and has been one of the young breakout stars the last 2 years, and Caris LeVert, who frankly struggled tonight but is capable of filling it up as well. Thought you may potentially be in for a long night, but the defense, and we've continued to pound this home this season, the last few years. It is more than just Drew Holiday. It's more than just Brooke Lopez. It's more than just Giannis. When this defense has as much time together as they do, and especially when they have Brooke and Giannis on the floor together, that makes up for so much to take away all of the easy stuff around the basket. And, you know, we continue to see an incredible performance all season long from Javon Carter, who tonight maybe not the most impressive statistical numbers, but it was everything that Javon Carter did. 11 points, 8 assists, 4 rebounds in 32 minutes. 2 block shots, a steal. His defense was tenacious all night long. You saw him get the assignment on Donovan Mitchell. We saw the rookie Marjon Beauchamp get that matchup a couple of times. Marjon was the guy primarily defending Darius Garland. And that duo of Mitchell and Garland combined for 46 points. But there was a lot of struggles in the second half as this team. We talked about it a little bit on the broadcast. As this team, this unit, just seem to figure out how to defend them. What the Cavaliers do so well is their offense is very similar to some of the actions that the Golden State Warriors will run. Maybe not quite as much off-ball movement, certainly not as much as Steph Curry does, but they set a lot of screens, and that's how they get their open looks, and they do a lot of that Spain pick and roll, where you have two screeners out near the top of the key, and in the first half, you were watching and you saw Marjon Beauchamp, you saw Javon Carter, a handful of the guys going under screens, Well, the reason you go under it is because you got to get through two screeners, and that's what makes that action so difficult to defend. But once you got to the third quarter, that's where this defense really started to take off for the Bucks. They won that quarter 34-18. The defense slowly started to figure out how to defend the Cavaliers and how to defend some of those actions. Cleveland went from 37 to 23 to 18 to 20 points scored in each quarter. They scored 37 points in the opening quarter and failed to hit 100 because of the job this Bucks defense did the final three quarters of the game. 855-616-1620 is the number to join us tonight, whether you're listening on the flagship WTMJ or ESPN Milwaukee. Best win of the season for the Bucks so far, and the best game of the season. You know who I'm calling out and who we expect to hear from tonight. The best game of the season for Jordan Wara. And this wasn't even a let's patronize him and pat him on the head and say, hey, Jordan's trying. He made some strides defensively. This was a good game from Jordan Wara. He made the extra pass. Not only did he have that defensive effort, he played well defensively. He was able to stay in front of Darius Garland at times. He was able to keep up with Donovan Mitchell the few times he was matched up with him. He had a very, very nice strip on a fast break attempt underneath the basket that led to a Bucks basket on the other end. It's not even this was good for Jordan Wara. This was a good game tonight from Jordan Wara. 855-616-1620, the number to join us. When we return, we'll get to where things all started to turn around for the Bucks. Turning points of the game, we'll reveal it after this on Bucks Talk.
Barry Ford.
Bucks beat the Cavaliers here inside of Pfizer Forum. I'm Justin Garcia. It's Bucks Talk as we break down the best win of the season so far. I know it's a young season, but the best win of the season for the Bucks, who once again play without Chris Middleton, Pat Connaughton, Drew Holiday, Grayson Allen tonight was out for the team. Wesley Matthews, we didn't mention him at the top, no Wes tonight, and still awaiting the season debut. It's going to take some time of Joe Ingles, but this Bucks team gets past a very, very good Cleveland Cavaliers team. 855-616-1620 is the number to join us on Bucks Talk. This is the Jordan Wara game. Jordan Wara was incredible tonight. 21 points to lead the bench, hit some big shots, played very good defense. And as we said, this was good defense for Jordan Wara. You could see he got better. This was good defense, all things considered. A very, very good game from Jordan Wara. And these are the types of performances you hope to see him start to piece together and build upon here, because it's going to be tough to crack the rotation once this team is healthy. Not only for Jordan, for a guy like Marjon Beauchamp as well. It's going to be tough to carve out consistent heavy minutes. You got Pat Connaughton that's going to take away from that. You got Chris Middleton that's going to take away from that. In the second half of the season, you got Joe Ingles that's going to take away from that. Grayson Allen and Wesley Matthews are guys that are going to eat into those minutes. So for the time being, when the opportunity is there, you got to take advantage. And that's what we saw Jordan Wara do tonight. 855-616-1620 is the number to join us. A good game from Jordan Wara. So Marjon Beauchamp is the other thing worth pointing out. We said after the game on Monday, as good as Marjon was, you know, there's going to be performances where it starts to tick downward. There's going to be rough patches for Marjon, especially offensively. He's a rookie. You would expect him to go through those types of ups and downs. The encouraging part about tonight is you certainly saw a downswing offensively, but it did not impact the defense that Marjon Beauchamp was able to play. And when we talked about this Bucks team figuring out how to defend some of those actions as the game progressed of the Cavaliers, nobody figured it out more, or was impacted more, I should say, than Marjon Beauchamp, who really, really shined defensively as this game progressed. And he was able to stick with Darius Garland for most of that second half and really frustrate him. And that's a big reason why Darius Garland and Donovan Mitchell, they finished with 46 combined points, each of them scoring 23. But it never felt in the second half like they were on the verge of taking over. And a big reason for that is the defense all around, but especially the defensive work of Marjon Beauchamp. But for the Bucks, the game started to turn in the third quarter, but the specific point in that third quarter, tonight's turning point of the game.
The moment it all turned around, for better or worse, this is the turning point of the game.
Trying to get a little more size now as they're getting pushed around. Lopez, he squeezes up a long three, and he connects again. He is absolutely dealing fire from distance tonight.
A big three-pointer there from Brook Lopez to push the Bucks lead to 10. This was a one-point Bucks lead at halftime, and you had that lead despite Giannis only scoring 6 points. At one point, you looked at the stat sheet and you said, well, the Bucks are hanging tough. You looked at that first quarter specifically. It was 37-34 Cavs. Part of you felt good, but the other part said, well, the Bucks were very hot from the outside in that opening quarter. You knew the Cavs were going to take quite a bit of mid-range shots. Coming in, that's what we mentioned. Cavs are one of the best teams in the mid-range. The Bucks are a team that is going to give up a lot of mid-range looks. So after that first quarter, on the surface, you felt good because you were down 3 points. You didn't have Drew or Chris. You didn't have big pieces to the bench. Giannis wasn't all that good in the first quarter. And he said, three-point game. All right. I feel pretty good. And then you looked at the stat sheet and said, well, it's a three-point Cavaliers lead. Yes, you didn't have a great performance in that opening quarter, or no, you didn't have a great performance in that opening quarter from Giannis. But the Bucks were 7-12 on threes, and they're still down by three. So that gave you a little bit of uneasiness heading into the second quarter, but it was much different. And again, the Bucks defense just kept getting better and better. The shots weren't falling in that second quarter, and yet the Bucks still found themselves in front by one at halftime, and they did that with Giannis at just 6 points. And in the third quarter, that lead exploded. That play where Brook Lopez connected from deep for the three-pointer to extend the lead up to 10, their largest lead at the time, you started to get a little bit of breathing room, and from there, the defense just put the clamps down on them, eventually doubling that 10-point margin and making the Cavaliers wave the white flag late in the fourth quarter. A surprising move there as well by J.B. Bickerstaff, pulling all of his starters with about 4 minutes left, and this was a 15-point game. 15 points is not a lot, especially when you have Donovan Mitchell and Darius Garland on the floor, and this is a Cavaliers team that has come from behind in the face of double-digit deficits a number of times this season. They almost did it on Sunday against the Timberwolves. Down 17 with a couple of minutes left, they made it a one-possession game. But this defense able to slam the door shut for the Bucks and pick up a much-needed win. You had lost three of your last four. Yes, you had been injured, but you just got to get back in the win column and piece together a good game, and that's what we saw tonight. So you feel good going into Philadelphia, and as we mentioned, as we wrapped it up on the postgame show, maybe it's optimism, but not only do you feel good riding high after this win, you also feel good because you get the sense maybe Pat Connaughton and Drew Holiday are back, maybe more, maybe Grayson Allen's back as well. And there's no James Harden in that game on Friday night, but you are going to need all the help you can get because as good as Darius Garland is that we just mentioned, and Donovan Mitchell, Darius Garland's 51 against the Timberwolves, on the same night, Joel Embiid scored 59 against the Utah Jazz 2 days after scoring 42 against the Atlanta Hawks. So Joel Embiid is playing as good as anyone in the NBA right now, and Tyrese Maxey has been just as effective as well. So you will be tested Friday night in Philadelphia. It'd be very nice to get some reinforcements in time for that road trip. When we return, it's probably fairly obvious already, but we will make it official, give you your sub of the game. Also, take a closer look at that matchup a lot of teams you're starting to play multiple times now early in the schedule. You've played the Atlanta Hawks three times, and now, 48 hours from now, you will have completed two games with the Philadelphia 76ers. We'll preview that matchup as well after this on Bucks Talk. .113.98, the final here inside of Fiserv Forum. I'm Justin Garcia. This is Bucks Talk. The number to join us on the show, 855-616-1620. And joining us now, let's go out to the phone lines and talk with John in Fremont. You're up on the show.
Hey, great win tonight. You know, I tell you, the Bucks are such a good rebounding team, game in, game out. And defensively, practically every game, they're amazing. There's really only one thing that seems to get them, you know, when they lose, as long as, you know, they've got their guys, you know, pretty full strength playing, is the perimeter shooting, you know. I mean, that's the only thing that really, you know, if you look at their roster, if they had a 3-and-D guy like a, and I mean, a great thing about Dreams, of course, is you can have anything you want, but if you had another guy like Chris Middleton, I mean, I think the Bucks would clearly be the favorite to win the championship. That's the one thing, you know. Oftentimes, somebody steps up, like tonight it was Jordan Wara, or, you know, young Marjan is really stepping up here lately, too. But, boy, if they could ever add a guy like a Halliburton or a Bridges, a young 3-and-D that can hit the three from, you know, with a 40% type of shooting percentage, man, I don't think anybody could touch him, you know.
Well, no, I agree, and thanks for the call, John. But look, it. I think we need to temper expectations. It's probably not going to be this year that you would get that type of return, but the hope and the belief is that guy is already on the roster, and that is Marjan Beauchamp. And maybe it's next year that he starts to really blossom into that. If you're lucky and you really hit the lottery twice in a 10-year span, it's this year that Marjan Beauchamp just keeps getting better and better. But they strongly believe Marjan Beauchamp's that guy. And you've already seen some of the signs there to buy into that and have a strong belief. And look, we heard all throughout the offseason, they were ecstatic over that selection. They could not believe he was there at 24, and they felt this was a guy that should have been rated much higher on everybody's draft board. They were absolutely over the moon that they were able to get him. And I'm sure the skeptic in all of us, as soon as you hear that, you think, well, of course, what else is the franchise going to say? You know, we'll make the best of it, but this isn't really who we wanted. You saw some of those things during Summer League. The shot looked a lot better than I think many of us anticipated. And now, what, 3 weeks into his NBA career, there's been at least one of these games each week where he plants that seed and talked about the career performance against the Timberwolves. And then less than a week later, he outdoes it against the Oklahoma City Thunder. And then less than a week later, he outdoes that against the Atlanta Hawks on Monday. So there's a strong belief Marjan Beauchamp is that guy. And at this point, it's kind of hard to argue with that. 855-616-1620 is the number to join us. Before we head back to the phone lines, let's check in on who our sub of the game was.
The bench mob was hungry, and someone ate. Who was it? Tonight's sub of the game is...
Well, it's a no-brainer tonight. He scored 21 off the bench. And as I've said, this wasn't just for him. He played well. And he played good defense considering who it was. He played good defense, period, and had a good game, full stop. The sub of the game tonight is our old pal, Jordan Wara. 21 points, 3 rebounds, an assist. A big steal on a fast break. Jordan Wara, your sub of the game. And frankly, Jordan Wara may have been your player of the game for some of the things he did in the second half of tonight's game. 855-616-1620, the number to join us on Bucks Talk. Let's head back to the phone lines. Speaking of our old pal, let's check in with another one. Dick in Port Washington.
Hey, Justin. I got two things. First of all, the guy had a good game tonight. But then again, blind squirrels find nuts. But that's not my main point for calling. I did that mainly for my wife. Here's my concern about our injuries. Chris Middleton, okay? It's his non-propulsion hand, not his shooting hand, that's injured. Is that correct?
Yeah. It's his left wrist.
Okay. All right. So I just can't believe it's taken this long to heal that thing. The PT on that, I don't understand. You know, the Bucks are about as transparent with injuries as a cement wall backed by an iron wall. I mean, look at last year when Brooke got hurt. We never knew what the heck was going on until weeks later. My concern is that it's not his hand that's keeping him back. It's his leg injury. And something's just not right there. Something smells a little bit about this. What's your opinion on that?
I'm to the point that I'm not ready to, as our old friend would say, get on the grassy knoll and look into some conspiracy theories until you get to the midpoint of December. Like, if this stretches out another month, then I officially have an eyebrow raised. But look, we know, and as you pointed out, they are not going to give you full transparency on injuries and rehab and any of that. But we also know they are very, very cautious. And I think for this team especially, you look at last year, this was the case of, one, I think it was a very tired team coming off of the championship year, and really three NBA seasons that touched two calendar years, and then also losing Chris Middleton in the playoffs. You saw the importance of being healthy, and I think this is a team that their approach to this season is probably, let's stack wins where we can so we can build in some rest and some games where you can say, well, Giannis is battling this, so we're going to hold him out. And I think at this point, you probably had a targeted return for Chris Middleton, and that's the other thing, to go along with the lack of transparency you mentioned. We have never been given a timeline for Chris Middleton. We were given a timeline for Pat Connaughton, and we're already 10 days past that timeline. Now, as Coach Budenholzer told us on Monday, it wasn't a setback for Pat. It was just a case of maybe we were a little too optimistic with that three-week timeline we gave, and it really should have been 4 weeks. So it does sound like Pat is very, very close. I, at this point, would be shocked if he's not back Friday in Philadelphia. And for Chris, I was always under the impression that Pat was going to be back shortly before Chris. And I think you're probably, I mean, it's a dangerous game to get into conjecture and guessing on when a player will return for the Bucks. But I think you're probably a week or so away.
Okay, but I mean, on the internet, I don't see anything questioning this. It just seems weird to me that you got a hand injury that was surgery that wasn't major. There's no rumblings you hear at all about anyone else questioning this?
Well, I mean, look, wrist surgery is still, it's not fully minor. Even if it's the offhand, I mean, you still need to use your offhand, and especially for ball handling. So I think the other thing that kind of slowed this whole process for Chris was the rehab over the offseason for the knee issue that you mentioned that held him out of the playoffs in the second round and at the end of the first round against the Bulls. He had to rehab that first and then got the surgery and went through everything on the wrist, because you don't want to go through rehabbing your wrist and your knee at the same time. So that also didn't help. But, you know, also why I'm kind of at the point and why I think nobody is starting to raise an eyebrow or question anything quite yet, because one, you expect this lack of transparency. You know the Bucks are going to be overly cautious. But, I mean, other than saying we've put a lot on Giannis's shoulders, and look, the Jrue Holiday rolled ankle last week, that threw a monkey wrench into this whole thing, because I think that meant Giannis didn't play an extra day, that look at all of the usage he's had, and look at tonight. He clearly didn't have it, and he was very much gassed down the stretch. He's been asked to do a lot this year because he's played without Chris. He's played a handful of games now without Drew or Grayson Allen. And I think a lot of it is that of, you know, the only real concern is you're asking him being Giannis, to do a lot right now. Other than that, you're winning without Chris Middleton. So even if he's at 95% right now, what's the point until he's fully 100%?
Yeah, I guess that's true. But, you know, you're saying that Giannis looked gassed. Well, Brooks played more minutes than Giannis has. He doesn't look gassed.
Yeah, I mean, look, and Brook has been incredible this year, but Giannis is doing everything when you look at his usage. Giannis is the guy that's handling the ball. Giannis is the guy, the offense is funneling through him. He's the guy that's the help side defender, that he's the one that's chasing guys down on the perimeter. So, Brook, look, I'm surprised we haven't seen one of those off days for Brook Lopez as of yet. But
you're right. I agree.
You're at the point where the nice part is you had last weekend and you have this weekend where you do get extended rest with the 2 days off. But then it's back to every other day. Next week, where you're playing four games the week of Thanksgiving, at some point, you got to get everybody, even if it's not Chris, you got to start to get these guys back because of what you're asking of Giannis. You want to give Brooks some time off. You want to take it easy with Drew Holiday. But, you know, they're at the point now that it in some ways, is starting to feel like last year, where last year it was just one thing after another. Brooke goes down, you didn't know when he was coming back. Then you lose Giannis to COVID. Then Drew Holiday goes down, and Chris goes down, and Bobby goes down. That it just seemed like it was dominoes. And you came into this year where you thought, you know, other than no Pat and no Chris, we're able to stay healthy. This is great. And now in the last week, that's all kind of changed.
Yep. Well, I think we're going to win on Friday, too. We're playing pretty well.
They're playing very well, and thanks for the call, Dick. And look, if you get Drew Holiday and Pat Connaughton back Friday, at this point, I would be, I'm not going to say stunned, because look, we thought Pat Connaughton was going to play today. He was listed as probable, and then we were told before the game he was out. But at this point, I'd be very surprised. You did hear some pushback on that. So I think to the question that Dick kept bringing up, I think why you haven't heard a ton of pushback is we were never given a timeline for Chris Middleton. So it's kind of hard to say, well, what's the deal here? We were never told, hey, it's going to be 2 weeks after Pat, or it's going to be 3 weeks. It's going to be 5 weeks. You were just told he's out indefinitely. We'll provide updates as the situation warrants. With Pat, we were given a timeline. And with Pat, we were led to believe he was going to play today. He was listed as probable on this morning's injury report. Upgraded from questionable yesterday to probable this morning. And then what? 8 hours later, downgraded to out. That's where you did hear a little bit of pushback of, wait a minute. How does this guy go from questionable to probable to out in the span of 24 hours? And I got to find the exact quote that that Bud gave us about the Pat situation. Because, like I said, there was pushback on that. We're hopeful to give him another day and that he'll be good for Friday. We didn't want to rush it. He tested it again today, and we felt giving him another day was just going to be the right move. So it seemed like maybe they put the cart before the horse and thought, okay, it's trending upward. I think he's going to play. Went out there and tested it this morning, and it was, yeah, you get the sense it was, yeah, I feel pretty good. I'd say I'm 90%. All right, let's just give it another day off, and we're hopeful he'll play Friday. So reading between the lines there, I think you're going to see Pat Connaughton make his debut Friday against the 76ers. It will have been a week and a half, approaching 2 weeks, that Drew Holiday's been out, and ankle injuries can linger. Look how long LaMelo Ball suffered that injury right before the regular season started, where I think LaMelo's was a little more severe than Drew Holiday suffering that rolled ankle in the preseason. But it took quite a bit of time to get LaMelo Ball back. He didn't return until November 12th, over the weekend here. And that injury happened October 10th, final week of the preseason. So he missed a month with that. These can linger and take time. You hope that's not the case with Drew Holiday. 855-616-1620, the number to join us on Bucks Talk. When we return, we'll recap the biggest plays of the game. The highlights are next on Bucks Talk.
Here are tonight's highlights. Here's Justin Garcia.
It's a 113-98 Bucks win over the Cavaliers here inside of Fiserv Forum. Time to recap how we got to that final score. The opening quarter tonight would prove to be a track meet between these two offenses. And for the Bucks, that offense started coming from the outside in the opening quarter.
Sends out top, Lopez uncorks a three, and he cans it from the top of the arc.
Now, Brook Lopez with his first three-pointer of the game. It would not be his last, as later on in that quarter, Brook would erupt for his third from long distance.
Carter on the other side will pass out now to Lopez. Long three, bullseye. Splash Mountain living up to the nickname now.
So despite the Bucks being down six of their top rotational players, this was 37-34 Cavs on top of the Bucks in that opening quarter, and they drained 7 three-pointers, three of them coming from Brook Lopez. One player we have not given enough attention to for how good he has also looked is Serge Ibaka. We've seen it defensively. Tonight you saw more of the Serge Ibaka offense here, attacking the rack, slicing into what was a 10-point Cavs lead.
They're down. Here's Ibaka, goes right past Love, and there is a complete defensive breakdown as he soars in for the uncontested dunk with the right hand.
37-34 was the score after one, but both of these defenses would either start to find their footing or the offenses would start to regress in that second quarter. Offense tough to come by, but the good news for the Bucks, despite the early struggles from Giannis, they managed to take a one-point lead into halftime at 61-60. In the second half, the Bucks would open things up the same way they opened up their scoring in the opening quarter, with outside shooting from Brook Lopez.
Here's a catch-and-shoot three from Lopez, and he rips the cords again from the corner on the left side.
Pushed it to a four-point lead, and the Bucks would keep their foot on the gas pedal. Their defense was causing all kinds of havoc, leading to fast break points, and when the Bucks weren't in transition, they were shooting threes as Brook Lopez remained hot.
Trying to get a little more size now as they're getting pushed around. Lopez, he squeezes up a long three, and he connects again. He is absolutely dealing fire from distance tonight.
When it was all said and done, Brook Lopez would finish with 7 three-pointers, 1 point short of 30 for only the second time in his Bucks career. The flip side was Marjon Beauchamp. Had a career night on Monday. The jump shot just was not there tonight. But Marjon was able to find offense in other ways.
Carter's got Beauchamp ahead. Feeds to Beauchamp. He soars in and stuffs it down with a two-hand jam. And Milwaukee has surged to a 14-point lead with 7:09 to play here in the third. And the rookie showing that athleticism. Great setup from his tag team partner, Javon Carter.
Yeah, it seemed like in the blink of an eye, this went from a one-point game to a two-touchdown lead for the Bucks, and that lead would continue to grow. The man of the hour, Jordan Wara, finishing this one off to give the Bucks a 20-point advantage.
Donovan Mitchell the other way. He's blocked from behind. Carter knocks it away, picked up by Hill. Numbers the other way. Lobs up top. Jordan Wara sends it down on the alley-oop. And right now, the Bucks can do no wrong.
Everything going the way of the Bucks in that third quarter. They would outscore the Cavs 34-18, taking what was a one-point game at the half up to 17. Cleveland, though, would continue to threaten, knocking the margin down to 9 and really starting to make you nervous. It was a 10-point Bucks lead when Javon Carter helped put the Cavs away.
By LeVert, slings it to the corner. Marjon Beauchamp will pass out of the right wing where Carter fires up a three. That one's perfect. That's a big shot.
13-point lead that would be for the Bucks, and shortly after, still with 4 minutes left, we would see J.B. Bickerstaff wave the white towel, and the Bucks despite the absence of Drew Holiday, Pat Connaughton, Chris Middleton, Wesley Matthews, Grayson Allen, and Joe Ingles, it's the Bucks getting past the Cavaliers tonight at Fiserv Forum, 113-98. We'll wrap up the show and preview what's up next for the Bucks Friday night in Philadelphia. We will give you everything you need to know for that matchup after this on Bucks Talk.
This is Bucks Talk.
Ain't no way they can stop me now, daddy, 'cause I'm on my way.
An impressive win tonight for the Bucks, 113-98. They take care of the Cleveland Cavaliers. And look, not only shorthanded, but struggles from Giannis. And this was the Jordan Wara game, 21 points, 29 from Brooks. So Giannis gave you the struggles, but Bobby Portis, not to be lost in the shuffle, had another double-double. It's back-to-back games. And Jordan Wara and Brook Lopez combined for 50 points. And the Bucks beat one of the best teams in the East despite having an off night from their superstar and missing six big pieces in the rotation. On to Philadelphia Friday night against the 76ers, 6:30 tip. 6 o'clock is when our Bucks Radio Network coverage begins with Dave Kane and myself. And, of course, immediately after the game on these stations, we invite you to join us once again for Bucks Talk. My thanks to Tommy Wirtz and Chris Larson for producing the show. Everybody for tuning in and interacting with us tonight as well. Talk to you once again Friday night with more Bucks Talk on these stations.